A few years ago, we introduced the idea of next steps to you, the idea to you, and we used four key words, the words come, grow, serve, go. And I hope that that'll be familiar with you if you've been around Harvest even a couple of weeks. You'll see it in different places. Come, grow, serve, go. And the idea is this, that wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, we want to help you take the next step in your spiritual journey. We believe that discipleship is a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong process. And we take it one step at a time. And so as we learn, as we grow in the scriptures and in our understanding of God and his plan for our life, then he just tells us sort of step by step, you know, what he would ask us to do. And so we trust him and we obey him and we take the next step. And so we learn and grow. And so we try to define it in this way, come, grow, serve, go. Unfortunately, for too many people, they've taken the first step of becoming a Christian, but they have never grown in their new spiritual lives. And I think this is very common. I talk with a lot of people that when we start talking through this idea, they'd say, that was my story, or yeah, I relate to that. There was a time in my life when I became a Christian, but I never really grew in my faith and grew in the Word. And the reason, I think there's a lot of different reasons for many people, though, is that no one was there to take them by the hand and to guide them through those first steps of spiritual growth. So our commitment as a church is that we want to make sure that if we do anything, we're going to try to glorify God, and then we're going to try provide a place and a plan and people to come alongside and walk alongside new believers so that somebody could help them along this spiritual journey. You say, well, what does that look like here at Harvest? Well, it looks like a lot of things. There's a number of things that happen ministry-wise that are connected with this idea. But at the core, we think it looks like this. Come, grow, serve, and go. We define it in these ways. You can find this on our website. You can see this on our church app. But we define these terms like this. I'll just give this to you quick because you should see this in other places. But come is an invitation to see what Christianity is all about and to commit your life to Christ and his church. Some of you here are right here. You're sort of exploring. You're seeking. And we want to invite you to come and find out what Christianity is about. And determine if you are, along with the many others, are willing to commit your life to Christ and his church. Grow has the idea of an invitation to become established in the essentials of the Christian faith and growth. Walking alongside other believers, learning together. Serve is an invitation to use our gifts in ministry service. We believe that Christians were meant and created and purposed to serve. To serve God in his church. And so we want to provide opportunities and help and equipping for you to be able to fulfill your mission in life, your purpose in life of serving. And then finally and ultimately is this word go. It's an invitation to a lifetime of going on mission, caring for people, sharing our faith, and building bridges for the gospel across our island and around the world. Okay, so when we look at these, you know, a lot of people have come through the come stage, but the growth and the serving and the going is something that hasn't been there. And we would like as a church to say this is exactly what God intends for us. You'll never be fully fulfilled or have God's blessing in your life without these continued growth in the calling of God to us. So the idea is that you'd be able to look at these four steps and evaluate wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. I didn't ask you to do that. Where would you be in your spiritual walk? And then once you've done that, then ask you to join in God's plan for you to come, grow, serve, go. So I had you turn to Acts chapter 13. And I want to talk about the fourth step in this or this fourth responsibility in your spiritual mission, this idea of this go word. And it's important because it relates directly to the step that Pastor Brian and Amy Leonards are taking today. And it relates directly to you too. I want to talk about both of those things from Acts 13, how it relates to a special day. I'm going to explain to you in a minute, and then how this relates to each of us together. Many of you know that Pastor Brian and Amy and their family, this is their last Sunday here at Harvest. And it's a really cool story, actually, because they both came here about 12 years ago, and they met here, and they got married, and God has given them four kids here. And you know this, but God has blessed their ministry over the years in so many ways. We all together are the beneficiaries of what God has done, how God has used them. Over the last couple years, they have felt God growing their burden to go out from here. And through a number of different things, Pastor Brian has talked with us about together. He may share a little bit more tonight about this. But through a number of different things, God pressed onto their hearts, not just their burden that God had been growing for Japanese ministry here on Guam, but their burden to be sent out from Harvest to do church planting and gospel ministry in Japan. And so tonight, we're going to be having a sending service. And that's what we call it. And I hope that you'll plan to be here. It's a really, really important part of church life. It's not something that happens all the time. We hope it happens more. It's happened often in our past, but not all the time, not every year. And so it's a very special time tonight. And we invite you, if you're part of the Harvest family, I really think you should be back here tonight to be part of what's happening in this sending service. And there's this really awesome picture of this kind of service in the Bible. Actually, there's a number of them, but I think the clearest one is in Acts 13. That's why we've come here this morning. Acts 13 is a really important text. I mean, what happens here, what the Holy Spirit does here, and the way that the Antioch church response to him is going to change the world. In fact, not only is it going to change their immediate world, honestly, it impacts us here 2,000 years later. So read with me, and then we're just going to walk down through these verses and see what God has for us this morning, okay? Acts 13, verse 1 says this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. As, there's a list of these prophets and teachers, Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, I want to tell you three things about this church at Antioch and what they did and what it means for us and what it means for you. First, let me give you a little context. This comes mostly out of verse 1, if you kind of look down through verse 1. I would have loved to have sit in at one of those services of this church there in Antioch. Verse 1 tells us that it was a very multicultural group. People from very diverse backgrounds. Actually, that seems to be the case with most of the first century churches. But we see that in the list of people, if you just see the names. Barnabas, we know from other locations, was a Jew from Cyprus. Simeon, who may have been African, and he was from, he was also called Niger, and that was like the country and the river Niger in Africa. And so we had Simeon, and then Lucius. We don't know for sure his ethnic background, but he was from Cyrene in North Africa. Manaen was part of the aristocracy. He was part of royalty. He grew up in the home of Herod. The text says Herod the Tetrarch. If you looked it up in history, you'd find Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, Herod the Tetrarch, was the one who killed John the Baptist. Manaen and Herod the Tetrarch grew up together. In fact, you can't do it now, but if you go back to chapter 12, is mostly about Herod, and it's really some interesting things that happened to Herod, part of his, you know, his terrible story. Well, Manaen grew up in the royal house with Herod. In fact, there's some idea that he may have actually been adopted as a foster brother. But no matter what, there's a very close family connection. And then Saul, who was a Jew that trained classically as a rabbi. So this was the church staff at Antioch. And they were incredibly diverse in many ways. They were diverse economically. There were some of this group that was wealthy. There were some of this group that would have been, you know, more poor. There were some that was educated, and there were some that was not educated at all. They were very clearly very different culturally and ethnically. They were kind of this racially integrated group of men who are serving the church. I would imagine that they were representative of the racial and the ethnic mix of the congregation. I think this was just a very diverse group. I wish there was some way that we could go back and get a snapshot picture, or at least sit in somewhere on the service of this church. Honestly, it may have looked a lot like Harvest, which I think is pretty cool. I think it's just one of the most amazing things about Harvest is just this diversity of cultures that you see sitting all around you, and diversity of backgrounds and economics and from different classes of people. I mean, it's just really this amazing thing. And I want to keep reminding you how special this is, even on Guam. For sure, around the world, I mean, I've been in churches all the way across the states and around, you know, many different places of the world, and it's very unusual to have the diversity that we have here in this room that are part of our Harvest family, you know, in many, many places. It's even rare, I think, actually, to find this kind of diversity even on Guam. You have lots of different churches. Some of them might be mostly local. Some of them might be more Micronesian, some might be more Filipino, some Korean churches. There's some that are mostly, you know, Hali churches. But, I mean, really, I think it's very unusual. You look around you, we have just this very diverse, very distinctly different cultures, and it's a beautiful thing. I think it represents what was happening with this new church in the New Testament. People were becoming Christians from all different walks of life, and they didn't separate out into, you know, kind of racially distinct groups. They gathered together, and they worshiped together. And in fact, this is one of the things that I think is so beautiful about this. There's something about the unifying effect of Jesus that can take us all from different backgrounds, and different cultures, and different likes and dislikes, and different preferences, and it brings us all together in spite of the radical differences that we might have culturally. It is a beautiful thing. It's such an expression of what the love of Jesus does for us. And I guess I just want to keep reminding you, this is a beautiful, beautiful privilege that we have together. So here's what this awesome church was doing. Let me just kind of walk down through a couple things, do some teaching on this. Number one, they fasted and prayed. Verse 2 tells us this, and verse 3 tells us this. And the fasting connection with this means that this was not just casual prayer. Fasting means that they cared so much about this matter, and they understood the significance of what they're doing, that they stopped eating. In fact, there's actually two seasons of prayer and fasting that are described in these verses, if you look closely at it. Verse 2 is the first, where they're all just active in ministry, and they're worshiping God. In fact, turn back to chapter 11. I want you to read this with me. This will give us a little bit more of the context and the background of what is happening here in this church of Antioch. So go to chapter 11, verse 19. Listen to this. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. All right, remember that's earlier in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 8. Stephen is martyred for the faith in Jerusalem, and that began or is in the middle of some incredible persecution that was happening all throughout Jerusalem, and it really dispersed the Christians out of Jerusalem. They started expanding out through all this region. They went to different places. That's where we're picking up here. So that arose about Stephen, and these men traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only, all right? So they started spreading out, but preach only to the Jews. But, verse 20, but some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. All right, so this is what happens. They spread out from Jerusalem. They go to a lot of places, including Antioch, and they're telling the gospel to a broad range of people, and many people turn to the Lord. Verse 22, and the tidings of those things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Comes back, hey, there's a bunch of Grecians that are becoming believers in Antioch. We should go check it out. So they sent Barnabas as their representative to go to Antioch and find out what was happening. Verse 23, who, when he came and had seen, I love this verse, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That's an awesome verse. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25, and then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. I can't tell you about this much, but what seems like happening is the ministry was growing so rapidly, and there was so much teaching and discipling that needed to be done, that Barnabas is like, I can't keep up. I got to go look for some help. So he heard about this guy named Saul, and so he goes to Tarsus, and he grabs Saul, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Pretty cool. That's what was going on. That's how this Antioch church starts to grow. And that's how they got these two leaders, Barnabas and Saul, who came to really teach and preach and share with them the good news of Jesus. So it was in this type of ministry. I mean, this church was alive. And it was active. And they were making an impact for God. And we find in chapter 13 that the leaders of the church are praying. God, what would you have us to do? What's the next step? How do we fulfill the mission that you've given us? What do you want us to do? And the Holy Spirit then speaks to them and he says, I want to take your most influential leaders because I've got some work for which I have called them. Listen, I think this is the harvest story. In fact, I want to encourage us with it this morning because I think this process has played itself out in our church a number of times where as we're ministering and serving together and God's blessing us and we're praying about, God, what do you want us to do for the next step? How do we continue to fulfill the mission you've given us as a church? God has, over the years, he's reached down, he's identified some, and he said, I want to separate that person, that family, that couple, and we're going to separate them out, and we're going to send them out for the work. And this morning, I guess I just want to encourage you about that. Don't grieve this. Celebrate it. I'm not saying that we don't hurt for the friendships that have grown so deep. We do. We're going to feel that with the Leonards today. We felt that before. We're going to feel this in the future. But it's not something that we grieve. We celebrate the work that God is doing, that we could be a part of a place where God is doing this kind of work and calling people out to serve and to go. I've said this before, harvest is a launch zone. I like that term. It's a launch zone. Right out of this little small dot in the middle of the ocean, over the years and continuing today, God is pulling out people and he's telling them to go. And they're going out to, you know, places all around this region, really all around the world. Every year, HBBC grads, Harvest Baptist Bible College grads, they get launched out of this place, out to the islands. They just launched out. You guys are going to think I'm a little bit crazy when I tell you this. You might think this already, but you know the Angry Birds game? When my daughter got married, I think this looks a little bit like Pastor Brian. Not the angry part, just the other parts. When I was at my daughter's wedding a few weeks ago, the groomsmen, you know, the day of the wedding, a lot of times they do something. We went to a Topgolf. Some of you guys may have done that. We went to Topgolf and golfed. And one of the things, it's kind of crazy how it is, but one of the things they do is they have this Angry Birds game. And depending on where you hit your golf ball, you know, you can shoot the birds out and knock over the things. It's all up on video. It's a little crazy. But I started thinking about this. That's how you know I'm crazy. This is a little bit of the harvest picture, right? We just keep pulling that slingshot back and launching them out. And, you know, launching them out to different places where those building structures are up and, you know, hoping that by God's grace, they're going to knock down the walls of the opposition to the gospel, right? We're just kind of launching them out. HBBC grads, we launch them out to the islands. And the Inafukus, we launch them out to Hawaii. And the Blakes, we launch out to Australia. And the Leonards, now we're going to launch to Japan. And the Wagners, we're going to launch out to Myanmar and to Thailand. And Harry Park, we're going to launch out to translation. You know, we could just kind of go on with these names. And not just that, not just those missionaries, not just our Bible college grads, but we actually have the privilege of this launching out military personnel. God is, by his grace and in his infinite wisdom, he's brought them here and made them part of our church family, and they've grown together and they've been on mission, and and they understand what the church should look like, and they're not just leaving here to go to another deployment. I really feel like this. They leave differently. You leave differently. You're being launched out to ministry for the rest of our lives to be messengers of the gospel. It's an amazing thing. We have staff that have come here and some just for a few years, but they have a ministry heart, and I hope by God's grace their ministry heart grows here and they have a heart for missions and they're launched out to places around the world. And sometimes they're launched back to places that need them in the U.S. and they're going to really travel with this harvest ministry heart. I really believe this. It's a beautiful thing that we ought to celebrate, this launch zone. But hey, this is the result of godly people praying. God, how can you use us? How can we best fulfill the mission? We're so burdened by the mission that we'll fast and pray that God would use us in a powerful way, not just a normal kind of attend church kind of way, but that God would bless us and use our mission as a church to do what he's called us to do. Because frankly, there's not that many churches out there doing it anymore. Too many people just want to come and listen and go. And listen, God's called us to do more than that. And that's been the harvest heart all along. And then the second prayer note is that after God had called and separated, then we got this prayer war that begins in verse 3, where God separated them out. Now they commit to pray and fast again. And listen, if there's anything that you can do for the Leonards, would you commit today to praying for them like this? Fasting and praying. Pray that God would protect them from harm, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Pray that God would guard their marriage. Pray that God would keep them from getting distracted. Pray that not so much that God would isolate them from trouble, because trouble sometimes, in fact, often, it's what God uses to mold us and shape us. And so we're not going to pray that God totally keeps them away from trouble, but that trouble would not overwhelm them. So they fasted and prayed. Number 2, verse 3 says they laid their hands on them. We're actually going to see this happen tonight. Verse 3 is interesting in that it doesn't seem like the church had much hesitation. I mean, God was calling the best out of the church. It's Barnabas and Saul. I think if we had Barnabas and Saul here, we'd be like, no, you guys can't go anywhere. We need you. It's hard to find more gifted people, and they had meant so much to the church's growth. You would have thought that it might have been tempting for the church to say, you know, God, are you sure? I mean, not those two. We want you to call people from our church, but you know, but not them. We need them. Here, take this person. You know, they don't do a whole lot around here. Take that person, but not them. But that's not the story. It just seems like when the Holy Spirit called them, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And listen, there's something very powerful in this symbol and the actual touch. Tonight, I hope that you'll be here, because it's a beautiful representation of what the church is called to do. As we send Brian and Amy, we're gonna lay our hands on them. And it's not some sort of a ritual, you know, religious ritual. I don't want you to feel like that. It's actually a beautiful picture. And what does it mean? Well, it means this. It means we're with you. You're not going alone. We will not abandon you, sort of out of sight, out of mind. We're continuing on with our stuff. We are with you. It means that you go with our authority as an arm of our ministry. It means you go under our accountability. We really believe that the authority for ministry in the New Testament age is a local church. Brian and Amy are not going out on their own. You could talk with them about it from the beginning. I mean, that's Brian's theology is so clear about this. They don't want to go out on their own. They're going out with us and under us. They're not even going on the authority of Baptist Midmissions, their mission agency. They're going under Harvest Baptist Church. We believe that God designed the church with every ability to fulfill the mission. It is equipped. It's perfectly equipped to get the job done. And so this is what we're saying tonight when we lay our hands on them and we send them away, that we're with you. You go with our authority. You go under our accountability. And then the end of verse 3 says they sent them away. They let them go. They released them. We know that you have to do what God has called you to do, what God's compelled you to do. And listen, everything that happens from here on out in the life of Paul and Barnabas, and really in the lives of the missionaries to follow, everything that happened here on out, listen, was directly connected to what happened on this day and at this time. The effectiveness of Paul and Barnabas is directly connected with this Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3, what happened in the church. That's what allowed them to be thrust out. So here's the takeaways. The go step, which we've been talking about this morning, in come, grow, serve, go. I'm going to be very clear about this. The go step, this is for all of us. Remember, this is how we say it. Go is an invitation to a lifetime of going on mission and caring for people and sharing our faith and building bridges for the gospel across our island and around the world. And this is not just for a few people that are, you know, Brian and Amy caliber. They're like, Pastor, you know, missionary, this is for all of us. In fact, I want to make sure that you see this from the scriptures. Would you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28? I want to make sure that we read this morning. This won't be new to you, but it's really important. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." What's the next word, verse 19? Go. And who is it to? Who's supposed to go? Disciples. Everybody, us. Them. It wasn't like specifically said, and take a few of the most, you know, highly qualified, gifted people and have them go. The rest of you stay home and fast and pray. It's not what it says. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, all the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to be with you. I've given, all power is given to me, and I'm gonna give it to you, but you got to go to all the nations. Go over to Acts chapter 1. Again, Acts chapter 1, I want to make sure you read it. Again, and it will be familiar. Here's the two places in the New Testament where the mission of the Christian and the mission of the church are given to us very clearly. Here's what it is. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you..." All of y'all, Southern, all y'all, right? Everybody, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, this is for all of us. The go command from Jesus, the one thing that he gave us at the end, he's getting ready to go into heaven. He said, make sure you don't miss this. Go. That's what I've called you to do. This is your mission. This is your mission. Go. It doesn't mean that all of us have to go to Japan or Palau or Indonesia. But all of us have to be active on the go mission. And it describes for us kind of what it is. Some of us are to go to Jerusalem, your village, your neighborhood. Some are to go to Judea. Maybe I'd say that's our island. Some, their mission is Samaria. That might be neighbors that are not like you. I think that's what the Samaria thing is kind of talking about. Across culture barriers, go. It might mean our islands, the Micronesian, the Pacific Rim, go to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts. I mean, these are the places, and all of us will go, and we're called to go specifically to one of those locations, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts. All of us have to go. Every one of us, when we leave here, we're to be on the go team. Come, grow, serve, and then go. You know, come, grow, and serve, all of that happens here, like in here. And I don't mean necessarily in this space, in the worship center. It's not that. But all of that, come, grow, serve, it happens in our church community, in our community groups, in our Bible studies, and in our spiritual fellowship with each other, kind of internally, come, grow, serve. All that happens in here. And it's so awesome. It's so sweet. We have in our community group, we have 7 ethnic cultures in our community group. It's so awesome. But all of that, come, grow, serve, all of that is prepping us so that we can go. Because that's our command. Go. Fulfill your mission. Your mission to be a witness and a light and to share the good news of Jesus and be a spiritual guide to others so that they can receive the forgiveness of sins and the new life in Jesus that you have found. If I can kind of bring you back to that Angry Birds idea, I mean, that's what we're doing in here, right? We're pulling back that that slingshot, and each one of us, we're lofting us out. We're launching us out. Go. We have to go. Go to your family. Go to your work. Go to your neighbors. Go to your local market. Go to the homeless. Go to the hurting. Go to the vulnerable. Go to the addicted. Go to the trapped and the broken. Go to the lost and the wanderers who just, right now they're confused. They don't know about life. They don't know where they're going. They just seem to be wandering. They're all around you. Go to those who are overwhelmed and confused. Because, man, they are. They are all around us. That's what we're called to do. It's the mission. And if we don't do it, we're off mission. And when this happens, when it really happens, and you have this whole culture of goers, and we're praying, and we're fasting, and we're asking God, where do we go next? Then God reaches down, and he says, would you release some of your best Go Team members? Because I'm going to send them out. A couple of years ago, I was speaking at a missions conference at a church in Virginia, not very far from Virginia Beach and the Norfolk, Virginia shipyards. I had a free Saturday, and one of the men in the church asked if I would want to be his guest at the commissioning of a U.S. nuclear submarine, the USS John Warner. In fact, I think I have a commemorative coin that came from that commissioning service. I think the USS John Warner has docked into Guam several times. I wonder if any of you Navy guys, if you've ever been to a commissioning celebration, anybody? Or a christening, ship christening, anything like that? Okay, I say a few. It's an amazing thing. I felt so privileged to be a part of it. I came home and I told my kids that was a big shindig. You know, it's a big deal. I mean, they got parades and bands and special dignitaries and people that are invited to come and speeches and important people, you know, and all of it. It's very interesting. After I left, I was so intrigued and felt so honored that I was able to be there that I started doing a little bit of research and background on what commissioning means. And actually, I found out that there's a lot of historical precedent in these types of ship ceremonies going way back. I mean, way back in history. And I was interested that there's often a real spiritual undertone to these ceremonies. In fact, you can see this way back in like Babylonian times and even earlier. I'm interested, and I haven't done this yet, I'm interested in finding out if there's some of that in our region. I mean, we are, you know, our islands are some seafarers from way back historically that launched out, you know, in pretty amazing ways in exploration of this region. And, these sailors that were launching out, these explorers, because they knew the vastness of the ocean and the winds and the tides, they would always kind of start off with sort of some type of spiritual undertone, asking somebody along the way for protection and guidance on this journey. And so it's really kind of a historical thing that's interesting. Anyhow, I can tell you that I was honored to be there. Great patriotism, kind of American pride, and felt like you're part of something historic, you know, that day. This afternoon, I want to tell you that we have a far greater honor. This afternoon, we're going to meet together again, and we're going to have a sending service, kind of a commissioning service for Pastor Brian and Amy and their family. And I recognize that, you know, a nuclear sub has a significant role in our world in the coming years. It's an instrument of the United States of America. But boy, today we are commissioning Brian and Amy Lennertz as servants of the living God. And in the coming years, their missionary ministry in Japan, I mean, it has the potential to influence thousands and thousands of people and be a key player in what God's going to do there in Japan and who knows in other places. And that impact, this ministry of God through his servants, Brian and Amy, it's going to influence eternity. We're going to be commissioning them tonight. And we are commissioning you. That's what we're doing. When we come together, we are equipping and training and challenging and encouraging and explaining the mission so that nobody misses it. And then as you leave, we're launching you out as soldiers of the living God with a testimony of what God has done in your life that is desperately needed by your neighbors and your friends and your family and the hurt and the wanderers all around you. So this morning we're launching you. We're commissioning you. Will you accept the mission? Will you be faithful to what God's called you to do? All right, bow your heads with me. If you'd have your heads bowed and just do some, you know, personal reflection, spiritual introspection. I want to ask you a couple specific questions because I believe that God is in the midst of working in lives today. So let me ask you some questions about maybe what God's doing. First of all, I wonder if there might be some that would say, I know that I've really not been faithful to my go task, but I want to be. And I'm going to begin praying that God would help me. I'm going to start taking the steps that I need to because I want to be part of that culture of goers, fulfilling the mission that God's called me. And you'd be willing to just raise your hand, ask me to pray for you and with you that you'd follow God's leading in this go team that God's called us to. Would you just lift up your hand? Let me pray for you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I wonder if there might be some that would say, I really need to begin growing and serving. We've actually not really talked about that this morning, but this is where the go starts. I wonder if you might say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be growing and serving, and there's some steps I need to take. Just lift up your hand. Let me pray for you this morning about that. Thank you. Thank you. I'm really thankful for that, blessed by that. Amen. Thank you. Number of hands. Praise the Lord. One last question. There may be some that you would say, I'm burdened that God may be calling me out to go beyond our island. I don't know for sure, but I've been sensing this over some time, or maybe even I'm wondering if today God's pressing that into my heart. I don't know, but I would like to pray, and I'd be willing to just lift up my hand and ask you to pray with us. Pray with me. Amen. Thank you. Others, just lift it up quick. Put it down. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Father, again, your word has been so clear to us. It's taught us, it's helped us to know what we're supposed to do and be as a church and as believers. I pray that you'd help us to fulfill the mission. Help us not to get content with just the motions of church. I'm not interested in that. I don't think these people are interested in it. We want to be servants of the living God. We want to be on task to what you've called us to. Would you keep doing this work of pressing into our hearts this mission? Help us to be goers. Help us to be growing and serving. And would you bless our desires to make your name great in the islands and around this world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.